If you have your Bibles and you would like to follow along with the reading and introduction on the things we want to speak of this morning, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. And in just a moment, we will be reading verses 20 through 33, the remainder of the chapter. And in this, we find a call of wisdom. Wisdom coming from God, God's Word, and God, that being God's desire for man and God's command for man. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And rejecting God's reproof. We're thankful for the presence of each and every one of you here this morning. We have some visitors with us. We are glad that you have seen fit to be with us. We hope that you're profited by the time that we spend in a study of God's Word this morning. And that as we worship God together, we might be edified, we might be built up. We are thankful for your presence. We hope that you will stick around afterwards so that we might get to meet you and greet you and maybe know something about you. So thank you for your being here this morning. Beginning in verse 20 of chapter 1, the book of Proverbs. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and wouldn't have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Here in the beginning of the book of Proverbs, we have before us wisdom personified. Wisdom as being someone that was calling out to the people. And I believe that what we find here is that the Lord, through this personification of wisdom, is seeking his people to return unto him. That he is reproving them, that they're doing those things that are wrong, and that he wants them then to return, to stop these things that they're doing, to seek the wisdom that comes from him, to seek his knowledge, to have fear of him, and to turn back to him. But instead of that, we find that they turn a deaf ear unto God. They will not listen to the things that he has to say, to the commands that he has given unto them. And wisdom in this way is a person, we might say, that is crying out in the marketplaces, that's everywhere striving to get the people to turn back unto God. But they will no longer do that. Wisdom is not ashamed of the message that she, if we will use that, if she is saying unto the people, she's not ashamed of that at all. But we find that the simple are going to be ones that will reject the reproof that is sent by wisdom. And for this, we see what happens. We find a dreadful scene of what God says is going to happen because they reject him. Reading again verses 26 and 27 to emphasize the point of what is going to happen to those who reject the reproof of God. It says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. It says God or wisdom is going to laugh at their calamities. The things that are going to befall them because they have turned away from God. And we see the nation of Israel time and time again doing that. And what happened to them. God is laughing at them because of this. They wouldn't listen to him in the beginning. They turned away from reproof time and time again until finally he was going to punish them. And then he was going to laugh at them. He was going to mock them in the terror when that terror came. And we see that he was going to have no regard for the distress and the anguish that came upon them. And it also says that when they would call, he, God, or wisdom, was not going to answer. We might ask the question, why is that? Why is that going to be? Why would God get to such a point as this? Verse 29 gives us the answer. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. As we look at this and what wisdom is trying to say and what God through the Proverbist is trying to say to his people, we wonder if we can learn a lesson from this today. Is this something that can be applied unto us? Can we reject the wisdom of God to such a point that these people reached in their day? Can we learn from this? If God regarded his people of old like this, can we also expect such treatment in our day today if we turn away from the reproof and the wisdom that God offers? If we turn from that, what is going to happen to us? Let's see if we can't learn a lesson this morning from the nation of Israel. As it's written here in the word of the Proverbist, as he is calling out, or as wisdom is calling out to the nation of Israel, to God's people to return unto him, and they refuse to do that. We find that they rejected the reproof that was coming from God. Let's see if that can happen to us. We look at what happened to Israel and the punishment that came upon them, as we read here that God is going to laugh at them, God is going to mock them, God is not going to be found when they search for him. We wonder why the punishment was so great. And truly, we would think that had been great punishment, that God would not listen to his people any longer, that he would laugh at them. Certainly, that's great punishment when the creator of Israel, the one who had chosen the descendants of Abraham as his own people, that they had gotten so sinful that God's going to laugh at them, God's going to mock them, he's not going to answer them. What great punishment this was. Why was it so great? Well, I think we can see in verse 24 why it was so great. Because we see of the character of the divine invitation or the divine call that was made by God. This was not an invitation. This was not a call that was made by man, but this was one that came from God. It was a divine, it was a holy calling for them to return unto him. Notice there in verse 24, because I have called and you refused. This was from God. This was the Creator. And again, I believe it is wisdom, or God through wisdom, calling the children of Israel to return. And he is saying, I have made this call. It comes from the throne of heaven. It comes from your Creator. It's not something that's done by another man, by some king or some great individual, but this comes from God himself. I have called you and you refused. Again, God through wisdom was speaking unto his people. They were in sin and he wanted them to return, and he was reproving them. And they would not return. Verse 24 talks about it also being a persuasion. And I believe that's what is contained in this particular phrase. I have stretched out my hand. You know, the word or the phrase there in the Hebrew and also in the Greek means to get someone's attention. And this is exactly what God is trying to do. He's stretching out his hand. He's calling the attention to the children of Israel. Pay attention to what I am saying. Listen to me. I am persuading you. I am calling you. And they would not. You know, Paul did the same thing over in Acts chapter 26 and verse 1. He had audience before Agrippa the king, and he wanted the attention of the king and others, and he stretched out his hand. It also says it concerning God in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. I have stretched out my hand to this gainsaying people. He wanted their attention, but they wouldn't pay attention. They would not listen to him. It was a divine persuasion. It was coming from God. And God was pleading, listen to me. Listen to what I have to say. Again, through wisdom, this is what the Lord was doing with the nation of Israel. And they, though, decided to turn away. And in verse 30, we also find a divine warning, one that comes from God. They would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. This word counsel simply means advice. They would not listen to my advice any longer. They would not listen to the commands that I had given unto them. And it wasn't as if God didn't tell them what they needed to do. His commandments were very plain. And in such places as Deuteronomy chapter 6 and also Micah chapter, or Deuteronomy chapter 10 and Micah chapter 6, The question is asked, what does the Lord require of thee? God told them what he wanted. And there was a warning, there was a counsel that was cut that had come from God, and they wouldn't have any of it. He said, you would not listen to my reproof. They failed to listen to the things that God had to say. And so because of the character of this divine call, the punishment was going to be great. It didn't come from man. It didn't come from a group of men. It didn't come from David, their king, or Solomon, or one of their other great individuals, one of their prophets. This was something that came from God, and they refused it. They would not listen to it. And as a result, the punishment was great. God says, I'm going to laugh at you in your calamities. We also see it was so, punishment was so great because of the character of the rejection. It was not just something that they said no to, but it was almost an obstinate refusal. There was no indecision that was manifested here by them. They said emphatically, no, we're not going to listen to God. And a decision to refuse to hear God is a decision to rebel against God. Whatever dispensation, whatever his word might be, if when we decide that we are going to refuse God, then we are also making that decision to rebel against him. And that's what the children of Israel had done. And this was not, as we said, just a simple no, but it was almost an insulting indifference that they had toward the word of God. And that's why their punishment was so great. Verse 24, as we read just a few moments ago, you refused. We find that they refused. They did not regard what God had to say. And again, that word did not regard, or that phrase that says does not regard the word of God, in the Hebrew, it means to prick up the ears, to listen to what God had to say. They weren't even going to listen to God. Their indifference was almost insulting unto him and unto his word. In verse 25, it says, you set it at naught, you despised it, you disdained it, and you would have none of it. We find there again, reading verse 30, as we did, you'd have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Again, they were not merely saying no to God. It was a total rejection of the things that he had commanded them to do. And that's why this punishment was so great. And that we need to emphasize that. This was a great punishment that was coming unto them. They had looked to God all these years as their source of strength, as someone who would provide for them, as one who time and time again allowed them to return to him, and he blessed them over and over again, although they turned away from him. The time had come, though, I'm going to laugh at your calamities. I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to mock, and I'm not going to be found when you look for me. This is why the punishment was so great. It was because this came from God. Time and time again, he called his children. He reproved them. But they would not listen to the things that he has to say. Now, we might want to say, as in the lesson, we want to ask ourselves, can this happen today? How do people today refuse the reproof that comes from God? First of all, we might say, well, God doesn't send his prophets to us anymore. We don't have those. We don't have them as they did under the old law. And even in the New Testament, when he directly inspired these individuals to say and to preach and to write these things, we don't have that for us. How can then we refuse the reproof that God sends to us? We can refuse the reproof and the instruction and the wisdom and the knowledge of God simply by turning down and turning away his word. Because that's how he is made known unto us today, is through the pages of the Bible. This is why he has given unto us his inspired word, so that we might know what he would have us to do. And when we refuse this, we refuse the reproof, the instruction, the correction, we refuse the discipline that God has sent to us. One of the ways we find that people refuse this is that they deliberately will not hear the word of God. I'm sure we've known people who are just exactly like this in our life. They just don't want to listen to any kind of religious talk. You may go into their home, and one of the things that they will let you know from the very beginning is, in this home, you don't talk about politics and you don't talk about religion. I'm sure you've run across people just exactly like that. You don't talk about those two things in their home. They don't want to hear any kind of religious talk at all. It's not that they are so completely against God, but they deliberately will refuse instruction and the wisdom that comes from Him because they know that their life is not in accordance with the Word of God. And so any kind of discipline and instruction that might come demands change of them, and they don't want to change. They don't want to do anything that would upset their life. They don't want to make any changes in their life. They're satisfied. And so as a result of that, they refuse to listen to the Word of God. They refuse to listen to this reproof, discipline, and instruction that comes from Him. They like themselves. They're self-satisfied. They think that the things that they are doing might be even pleasing in the sight of God. Some of the things they know, though, are not. And because of that, they don't want to change. Some of these individuals that we might run across who would deliberately refuse to hear the Word of God, the conscience is not seared as of yet. It hadn't gotten to the point of where, you know, they're going to do things regardless of what the Word of God says. But in order to hear reproof or hear instruction from the Word of God might cause them some discomfort in their life. They might have to change something. They might have to give up that gambling that they do. They might have to give up that immodest dress that they wear from time to time. They might have to do this or that, and they don't want to make that change. And so, therefore, they shut the Word of God out. They refuse to hear. They shut their ears. Just as Israel did in the days of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, we find the prophet Isaiah talking about that same thing. They refuse to hear. Christ said in the day, he quoted Isaiah in his own day, says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, verses 14 and 15, exactly the same thing. They shut their ears. They would not hear the Word of God. We have people today who are doing exactly the same thing. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They shut their ears. Therefore, whenever the Word of God is taught, they will deliberately avoid that place, wherever it might be. They will not talk to their friends about the salvation of their soul because they're satisfied. They don't want to make changes. And they refuse then the discipline and the reproof that comes from God that will make us right in His sight. We find others who refuse God's reproof when they listen to what God has to say, but they're not very impressed with it. And again, you've run across people just like that. They're willing to give you an audience. They're willing to listen to the things that you have to say or what the Bible has to say. But in the end of the conversation or the reading, they're not impressed by it at all. They're not impressed by what God has to say. There are some who have determined that they will not hear even before they begin to listen. You know people just like that, don't you? They've made up their mind. Their mind is already set. Well, I'll listen to what you've got to say, but I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to let it sink in. I'm not going to try to understand it. We've run across people who are exactly like that. They have a mindset that says, well, I know what you're going to say, and I'm just not going to listen to it. They will give you audience. They will listen. But they're not going to allow the Word to have free course in their life. They're not going to be impressed with what God has to say. This is a person who does not love instruction. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, we've read this before. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Again, that is the New King James. The word brutish is used in the King James Version. That person is brutish. What that is that person's insensitive. Insensitive to any kind of higher aspirations. It's a person that has done things and does not regret what's in their past. And there's no hope for change in that person. That person is incapable of developing beyond the point of where he or she is. That's what it means. That person's just simply not going to listen. Won't listen to instruction. The word instruction means correction or discipline. Whenever we have correction or discipline in our life, we show the faults that we have in our life all too often. You know, in our society today, we just don't want to do that, do we? What we have in our society today is a philosophy that says that we've got to take our self-esteem to the highest it possibly can be. And whenever we study the Word of God, sometimes we find out we have shortcomings, don't we? There are things that we're doing that are wrong. And the popular psychology of today is we don't want to admit that because our self-esteem will come down. We might begin to think too lowly of ourselves, have too small of an opinion of ourselves. And so we don't want to do that. That can be devastating to your character. And so you don't study the Word of God because you might find out you're doing something that is wrong. Instruction from God is something that will make us better. It will make us better in every aspect of our life. But you know, when it makes us better, we have to admit something. That is, that there's some changes that need to be made in our life. If we're going to be made better, then right now, we're not as good as we ought to be. And again, people don't want to think that of themselves. That might bring down their self-esteem. And so they might give an audience to what you have to say and what the Word of God speaks, but they're not going to be impressed by it. Such a lack of love for the truth will result in receiving and believing a strong delusion. And that's what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. People didn't have a love for the truth, and as a result of that, God would send them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. They didn't want to believe the truth, and so they would believe a lie. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Each day of our life, we speed toward our eternal home. And where we spend eternity is going to depend on whether we are ready or not to learn the Word of God, whether we're going to refuse to listen to the things that He has to say, or whether we have an open mind that says, Lord, tell me what I need to do. But there are going to be some who are going to refuse. They are going to refuse to listen to what He has to say. They might listen, but they will not be impressed. We find others who refuse the reproof and the wisdom of God because we find in their life someone who is perhaps convinced of what the Bible has to say, but they're not moved to do anything about it. How many people you know like that? How many people have you run across in your life who know what this book says? They know God's plan of salvation for them. They know their duties as a husband or their duties as a wife. They know how they ought to act in certain situations because they've been exposed to the Bible enough. Again, they know God's plan of salvation. They know that you have to have faith, repent, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. They know these things. And they can argue with you just as well as anybody else can. And they know the Scriptures. But what happens? They don't do anything about it. I've known some husbands of some very godly women who were just like that. They could argue with you. They could discuss with you the Bible. They knew exactly what they needed to do. They did nothing about it. They were not added to the body of Christ. They were impressed with the truth, with right, and with wrong. But they made no decision whatsoever. You know, that's kind of frustrating, isn't it? When you run across a person like that, they know what they need to do, but they won't do anything about it. They will listen to God, but not to His reproof. They reject His instruction and His counsel. They are convinced, we might say, but they are not converted. They know what to do, but they refuse to do it. They postpone, they linger, they procrastinate. And you know, every time a person rejects the invitation of God, the next time it's easier. You can count on it. If you reject it one time, that may be very hard for you to do. But it also makes it easier for you to do it the second time. And when you do it the second time, it's easier the third time. When you do it the third time, it's easier the fourth. And you can go on to 5 and 10 and 50 and 100 times that people reject the gospel of Christ. The invitation that is extended, the knowledge that is found in His Word, people will reject that. And every time, it's easier. The next time, it's so much easier just to tune things out. They know that changes must be made in their life, but they reject it. They reject the reproof, the instruction, the discipline that comes from God. Ezekiel faced some individuals in his life. He talks about, and it's a very interesting passage of Scripture, in Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 30 down through the remainder of the chapter. Ezekiel says, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.' So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. When this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them." What is Ezekiel trying to say? He said the children of Israel, those that were there, they just loved to hear what he had to say. They loved to hear the word of God proclaimed. It was like a beautiful song to them. Someone playing wonderfully upon an instrument that sounded so great. That was the way it was. And they agreed with those things. But when they went away, they didn't do them. We find these are people who refuse then reject God's reproof and His instruction. And it happened in the days of Ezekiel. It happened in the days of the Proverbist. And it happens today. How many times have we heard people say time and again, "Preach unto us hard things. Let us know what the Word of God says in no uncertain terms." But unfortunately, we find some of those same people who love to hear that kind of preaching and teaching, they won't do anything about it at all. They refuse the instruction of God. The sin of Israel was that they did reject God. And it can happen to people today. Like Israel, we sometimes can be a stiff-necked people. We can be self-willed. We can demand our own way. We can become haughty, puffed up. We can elevate ourselves. We can be stubborn. We can want our own way. And we can turn aside from any kind of chastisement or pleadings that come through the Word of God. We can be just like that. Just as they were. We are not immune to it in our day and in our age, even though we have greater revelation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God's patience are wonderful. God is our maker. He is our preserver. He is our provider. He gives unto us everything that we have. Everything that we have and need and whatever we are, God makes us and He gives us these things. He is worthy of all the reverence that we can give to Him, all the love and the praise and the honor and the glory, all the service of every day of our life. He's worthy of all of those things. Man, because of sin, has alienated himself from God. And because of these sins, he remains at enmity with God. God has done everything that he can to recover man, in that he gave his Son to die on the cross of Calvary so that we might be saved. Let us be fearful of going beyond what we might say is the divine grace and the long suffering of God. Well, one thing we have to understand is God's patience has bounds. To the children of Israel in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 17, one of the statements that is made concerning Israel is he calls him Ephraim. He says, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. What's God saying? God is saying that the nation of Israel, those 10 tribes in the north called Ephraim, they're joined to idols. Leave them alone. Just let them go. His patience had run out with them. He had got tired of calling them and calling them to return unto him. His patience had bounds. We find that there comes a time when he no longer pleads and strives with us, but he gives us up. In Acts, the 7th chapter, and verse 42, we find that as Stephen is making his defense there before the council, he says concerning the children of Israel, in their history, God turned and gave them up to the worship of the host of heavens. What happened? God's patience had run out with them. He was just going to let them go. Let them do what they wanted to do. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 26, as Paul there is talking about the Gentile world, he says, and God gave them up to vile passions. And they did those things that were unnatural and unbecoming. What happened? God's patience had run out. They had reached the point of where he was tired of pleading with them, of calling them to return unto him. They had rejected his reproof and his instruction so many times that he said, just let them alone. That happens. It can happen to us also. And God is pleading through his word today. He invites us through his words. Christ said in Matthew 11 and verses 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, this is not an invitation that comes from man. This is an invitation that comes from God. This is just as divine a call as God called the nation of Israel under the old law. It may be, though, even greater because it comes through the Son of God who lived as a man. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. God commands that we listen to him and we obey him. Paul writes in says in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, the times of these ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. God is calling everyone, he is pleading with everyone to come to him through his Son. But he warns, he reproves, he seeks to persuade us also. This is what God is doing through his word today. We don't have prophets. We don't have inspired men. But we have his complete word that will tell us what to do. And through this word, through the word that has been given by the Holy Spirit, through his Son and through the inspired apostles, God is pleading. An invitation comes from him. And if we reject this, as the writer of the book of Hebrews says, this greatest salvation, which came through his Son, what's going to happen to us? What is going to happen to us if we reject this? Reproof may be rejected, as we have seen. It's not always the fault of the teacher when reproof and instruction and discipline is rejected, because we even find that Christ himself did not convert everybody. There were people that refused what he had to say. But people reject the word of God because of the attitude that they display. In the outline, we've noted several passages there, but we just want to mention one or two of them. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 9, God, through the prophet Isaiah, speaking to the children of Israel, it sets forth an attitude that they had. In chapter 30, and I'll get there in a minute, verse 9, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of God. That's what they had become. The attitude was, we're not going to listen to what God has to say any longer. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10. Again, the prophet Jeremiah this time, speaking concerning attitude, says there, to whom shall I speak and give warning? And give warning that they may hear. Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. We find another example in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 19. Children of Israel had come unto Samuel, and they demanded of Samuel that God give them a king. And it says there that they demanded a king, and they refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Once again, their attitude was, we're going to have it our way. We're not going to listen to God. Because of an attitude that we might develop, we can reject the discipline and the instruction that comes from God. In Acts 22 and verse 22, we find Luke writing there and making this statement after Paul had made his defense. And after he had made the statement that I will send you, when what God was telling Paul to do, that he will go unto the Gentiles, and they listened unto him until this word. And when they heard that, they weren't going to listen anymore. Their minds were made up. Their attitude was, we're going to reject the Gentiles, therefore we're going to reject you, Paul, and what you have to say. People have developed attitudes that will cause them to reject the instruction and the reproof that comes from God. We mentioned a few moments ago about individuals who like to gamble. And they know what the Word of God has to say on that matter. And because of that, their attitude is, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to listen to the Word of God. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. With immodest dress, with social drinking, with dancing, with other things that are causing problems within the body of Christ. Unfortunately, we have those who have the attitude that says, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. I'm not going to listen to what God has to say. When God's word reproves what we would perhaps like to do, and if we reject that, if we reject the reproof that comes from God, then we find ourselves in exactly the same place that Israel was in. We're going to get to that place where God's going to laugh at our calamities. He's going to mock us. He's going to mock at us in our disaster and in our destruction. And when we seek Him, He's not going to be found. When we continually turn from listening to the Word of God. Man must not reject the knowledge that comes from God. Once again in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. If you'll notice in your outline it's verse 1. It should be verse 11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? We cannot turn away from the knowledge and the discipline and the instruction that is found in the Word of God. Disaster is only left for us if we do. Instruction and reproof are something that go hand in hand. And in Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 11 and 12, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Instruction comes from God. The reproof, the discipline that he sends unto us, we cannot turn away from. And that's found in his word. Again, he's not going to send to us today prophets. He's not going to send to us inspired men. Those days have passed. We have the complete word. And what we need to do is just simply listen to what God has to say. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, do you know what you need to do in order to be saved? Do you know that? Have you listened for year and year and year, knowing what you need to do and still refusing it? It's easier now than it was before, isn't it? It gets easier every time you refuse obedience unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to take great strength to overcome that, but God can provide it for you. God offers you salvation through His Son, but only in your obedience unto what He says. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the invitation of Christ. Don't turn away. It's not going to do you any good. Do what He says. Won't you do it as we stand and as we sing the song?